come to order, please, for the 10th legislative day. The Senate will come to order. Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers this morning?
The roll shows 19 members present. Senator Hensley is excused from the call of the Senate today.
This morning's chaplain is Senator Josephson. Will all please rise, please, for the invocation.
Let us pray. Today we mark the beginning of the 8th year of the Ronald Reagan presidency. As free people always do, we find much in the record of that presidency to argue about. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of living in a nation where we can argue with each other. And we ask you to teach us again and again how to disagree without being disagreeable. We also recall the courage of a gallant president after the attempt on his life, the resiliency of a personality able to rebound from sickness, tragedy, and adversity, the willingness to open new doors of understanding to foes across the water, and the dictum that we, the American people, have only one president at a time. We pray that Ronald Reagan, the president of all of us, whatever our party, shall complete this last year of his presidency in good health and good spirits, so that he and Mrs. Reagan can move on 365 days from now to a long and well-deserved retirement in the midst of a grateful nation. Amen. Amen.
Senator Eliason, will you read the chambers, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Bootser.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the statement of prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. And we have
Madam
the
President.
Senator Boot.
The statement of prayer, please.
Without objection. May we have the certification of the journal, please, for the 9th legislative day in Senate Supplement number 25.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 9th legislative day in Senate Supplement number 25.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 9th legislative day in Senate Supplement number 25 be approved as certified.
Without objection, the journal for the 9th legislative day and Senate Supplement number 25 has been approved as certified by this body. Do we have introduction of guests, please? Senator Coghill.
Madam President, it gives me great pleasure as the chairman of the Senate Resources Committee to introduce a group of friends that we have in the gallery with us today from the Resource Development Council, and I'd like to introduce them to the Senate. And as I call your name, if you'd please stand, and we'll hold the applause until we get them all standing. Joseph Henry, who is the president of the organization, and Mr. Shelby Stancy, who is the vice chairman. Then we have Rex Bishop, and we have Roy Ewan. We have Alan Karen Hofstad. Phil Holdsworth, Chris McAfee, Stefan Renberg, Richard Tindall, Lyle von Barton, Chuck Weber, and we have Becky Gray,
Gay,
and we have Mike Abbott. I think that that's all. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to introduce two distinguished constituents, Senator Cotilla and I, behind me, and I ask him to rise, is Don Wagner, who's the president of the Valdez School Board, president-elect of the Association of Alaska School Boards. He's also a peace officer. And joining John is Miriam Sumner, who is the Alaska Foster Parents Association representative here in Juneau to promote legislation relating to foster care for children. Welcome.
Senator Abood.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to introduce senators to my secretary, who is new with me this year and formerly a magistrate from the great city of Pelican, Kim Daniels, please.
further introduction of guests? Maybe Senator Booth.
Thank you, Madam President. I have someone sitting in the far gallery, a very good friend of mine who's been down here many years. A lot of you know him. I'd like to introduce Mr. Jeff Day.
Senator Sturgalewski, thank you.
Madam President, I'm delighted to be able to introduce a friend to many of us, many years standing, Bert Hall with the Municipality of Anchorage. Bert.
Further introduction of guests. Messages from the governor this morning.
Message dated January 19. Dear Senator Fakes, on this date I have signed the following bill and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Bill Number 319, increasing the amount that may be contributed from permanent fund dividends to the Alaska Winter Olympics account and providing for an effective date. Chapter 1, SLA 1988, sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. Messages dated January 19. Dear Senator Fakes, I have read the following resolutions and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 33, suspending Uniform Rule 23A of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill 319 relating to the Alaska Winter Olympics account, Legislative Resolve Number 42. Senate Resolution Number 28, establishing a special committee on resource development, Senate Resolve Number 19. Senate Resolution Number 29, dedicating the second session of the 15th Alaska State Legislature to the late Senator Don Bennett, Senate Resolve Number 20. Sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. That is all the messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the House of Representatives.
There are no messages from the House this morning.
Communications.
From the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, there were three reports concerning private passenger automobile insurance and homeowners insurance. One is statistical analysis, number two, consumer brochure, and number three, rating examples.
These three reports from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development will be referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
We have a report from the Department of Administration on non-permanent and emergency employment for 1987 in accordance with AS 3925195.
Labor and Commerce Committee.
There's a letter dated January 13, 1988, regarding collective bargaining agreements from John Andrews, Commissioner, in accordance with AS 2340215B. Do you want the whole report, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am, please, if you will read it.
Dear Madam President, as you are aware, the collective bargaining process for new labor agreements covering the majority of state employees has not been completed at this point. As a general comment, it appears that no general pay increase will occur for any salary schedule. However, pursuant to AS 2340215B, I hereby report the monetary terms for the agreements which have been reached for FY89. Ratified agreements exist for the following units with the potential for additional productive work hours or cost savings as stated. Supervisory Unit Confidential Employees Association, 40-hour work week with 8-hour work day. Three floating holidays added. Parens CEA provides for rescheduling of 5 holidays if worked. Collective bargaining negotiations for the remaining bargaining units have not been completed and are either 1. Proceeding to interest arbitration, 2. Awaiting an arbiter's award, 3. Involved in litigation, or 4. Are at an impasse. However, we do not anticipate any substantially different monetary provision for those contracts not yet resolved. Sincerely, John M. Andrews, Commissioner. We have one disclosure letter from Senator Willie Hensley in accordance with AS 2460070. This will be in Senate Supplement Number 26 to today's journal. And that is all the communications this morning.
Do we have reports of standing committees?
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 95, Renewal of a Driver's License, and a majority of the committee recommended calendar. They also attached an updated fiscal note. Senator Lyson, Chairman, and Senators Binkley, Hensley, Jones, and Fakes signed to calendar. Senate Bill 95 is on today's calendar, and that is all the standing committee reports.
Do we have reports of special committees, please?
There are no special committee reports this morning.
Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 36 by Senator Coghill relating to annexations recommended by the Local Boundary Commission.
Community and Regional Affairs, please.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 54 by Senators Sturgiluski, Hensley, Abood, Binkley, Coghill, Duncan, Eliason, Fahrenkamp, Fakes, Fanning, Fisher, Halford, Jones, Josephson, Kelly, Curtula, Rohde, Szymanski, Ewing, and Jaroff, expressing support for the Alaska Airlines application for approval to fly to Siberia.
State Affairs Committee.
That is all the resolutions for introduction this morning.
We have introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 357 by Senator Fakes, an act exempting utilities with no more than 500 subscribers from regulation by the Alaska Public Utilities Commission or a municipality, and providing that the most extensive exemption from regulation applies when more than one exemption is applicable to a utility.
Labor and Commerce Committee.
Senate Bill Number 358 by Senators Sturgiluski, Hensley, Coghill, Rohde, and Szymanski, an act relating to municipal procurement of architectural, engineering, and land surveying services.
Community and Regional Affairs Committee and Labor and Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 359 by Senator Coghill, an act relating to reorganization of private debt at a Delta project and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
Senate Bill Number 360 by Senator Coghill, an act repealing the termination date of the Delta Junction Bison Range Area.
Resources.
And that is all the bills for introduction this morning.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Bill Number 95 by Senator Curtula, an act relating to renewal of a driver's license. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the CS and reports it back as follows. Senator Boo, Chairman, and Senator Hensley signed due pass. Senators Ewing, Fakes, and Josephson signed no recommendation. They attached a fiscal note. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends the State Affairs CS due pass. Senator Curtula, Chairman, and Senator Sturgiluski, Rohde, Halford signed due pass. Senator Josephson signed no recommendation. Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends the State Affairs CS due pass. Senator Binkley, co-chairman, Zaroff, Fisher, Duncan, Hensley, and Bennett signed due pass. Senator Ewing signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends calendar with an updated fiscal note. Signed the report with Senator Eliason, Senators Binkley, Hensley, Jones, and Fakes. I have a CS and an amendment.
Senator Booth.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 95, State Affairs, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objections, the committee substitute for Senate Bill 95, State Affairs, has been adopted. Are there any amendments?
Amendment number one by Senator Curtula. Page 2, line 7, change 1988 to 1989.
Senator Curtula.
I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption amendment brings into this year's orchestrated for last year's adoption.
Hearing no objection, amendment number one has been adopted by unanimous consent. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader? Senator Rohde, excuse me, sir.
As long as we're in second reading, just a question to the sponsor. I note on page 2 on line 6 that we're charging an additional fee of $1 for mail, which makes sense, except every time we put these in the statute, they cause us problems, and we don't go back and correct them, and we have a lot of antique values throughout the statute. It would seem better to provide a statement such as a fee of 10% of the cost of the license in addition for mail or whatever the body might think appropriate. I would, we're in second, I'd suggest that to the author. That way we will not have to go back and adjust the statute, which requires a great deal of this body's time and the public's money.
Without objection, the Senate will stand at ease.
Yes, I don't
object. Back to order, please. We are in second reading. We were discussing a possible amendment on committee substitute for Senate Bill 95, State Affairs. Senator Rohde, you're seeking the floor, sir.
Senator Curtula, I will not offer the amendment. It appears the department feels there may only be a one-time cost to this, and while it's still a problem the way it's written, with the additional information as the bill goes through the House, we can solve any problem rather than take up the body's time with it now. Thank you.
Further discussion under amendments, second reading. Do you have an amendment, sir? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee steps to present a bill 95, State Affairs, as amended, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, the committee substitute from the State Affairs Committee for Senate Bill 95 as amended is before us for final passage. Madam Secretary, will you read the bill?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 95, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to renewal of a driver's license and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a brief question. I think it was the same kind of questions I brought up in the State Affairs Committee. But the only question I had on the bill was that under the present law, we presently have a situation where people are required to take a vision test at the time of renewal, but if we were to do it by mail, they would be allowed to go for a period of 10 years without a vision test, whereas now I think it's every 5 years. In many states, of course, the renewal for driver's license is 2 and 3 years. What we'd be allowing here is a 10-year period before people's vision would be checked. And if the sponsor could respond to that.
Senator Curtula.
I will give a brief on the bill, but the answer that, and we've examined this position, is that California studied their driver's license by mail law and did an extensive study on this in 1985. And we had these materials and came up with no evidence that there was increase in accidents when visual acuity tests were not given. The California study found that only 0.02%, that's 0.02%, 0.02%, of 4,000 people surveyed even needed a new eye exam. And that since the program, like ours, only allows good drivers to participate, the drivers were or conscientious people that were taking care of any problem themselves. Also, the eye tests that DMV gives, you are very, very perfunctory. The representatives from DMV who testified concerning this bill saw no problem with not requiring an eye test for mail in licenses, and also testified that under existing regulation, the department can presently require an eye exam of anyone if they think it does become necessary. If there's any indication out there on the road, they feel it isn't necessary, as the picture is, like our passports today have a 10-year allowability for the one photograph. I do have just a brief on this bill. I'm not sure it's required, so many of you have heard it, but it was last year. Senate Bill 95 is twofold. It's to provide a convenient method of driver's license renewal for the public. Rewards those individuals with a 5-year clean driving record if they choose to use that reward by going to the mail. Motor vehicles offices are open Monday through Friday, and many areas don't have have that facility. This requires that a person take time off to work in order to renew a license, even in the urban areas. Many people also need to travel long distances to get to the driver's license. It's not unusual in the area I represent for a person to travel 100 miles to have to get a renewal. In addition, Alaskan residents, such as students attending schools out of state, frequently need to renew their license. And the Renewal by Mail program will provide greater convenience to the public. That's what it's all about. The legislation allows only those individuals with a driving record free of any movement violations or other action that may have been taken by the department for the previous 5 years to renew by mail. The Motor Vehicle Department expressed to us that the cost would approximate $10,000 a year. This is based on 12,000 to 13,000 participation. Approximately 80,000 renewals go out each year. 56,000 would meet the criteria sent out in S. Bill 95 to carry its weight. The department has a 75% renewal rate, which would mean about 42,000 possible renewals by mail. Based on the renewals by mail for auto registration, if 30% take advantage, we would pay out. Again, there's no evidence to show there is an increase in accidents with visual acuity tests are not given. A number of states do not give eye tests at all. U.S. passport photos are good for 10 years. Some states do not even have a photo on their driver's license. And such states which currently use mail and driver's license and support the program, California, Utah, Florida, and Arizona, to name a couple. Again, I do have further backup if it's required.
Further discussion? Senator Abood?
Just another question. I might understand by this that if anyone has any kind of a moving violation, such as 5 miles an hour over the speed limit in a 5-year period, you've got to get down there and apply for it. I presume that's what it says. I wonder how many of you here in this body is going to be affected by that. And secondly, I'm not sure, and I do this as a matter of form, that that age of 69 years old is totally unacceptable to me.
Further discussion? Further discussion?
Senator, long response.
Senator Curtula, are you seeking the floor, sir?
Senator Boone and I have the same problem with the age consideration, but the other one is well covered.
Further discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 95 from the State Affairs Committee as amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Senator Abood?
No to yes.
Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so the committee substitute from the State Affairs Committee of Senate Bill 95 as amended has passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas, one nay, with one excused absence. Mr. Majority.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of Senate Bill 95 be considered a vote on the effective date.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 95, State Affairs as amended, will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary, do we have another item on the calendar?
Citation. In memoriam, Bob Yukio Urata by Representatives Sun, Taylor, Almer, Phillips, and Senators Jones, Eliason, and Binkley.
Discussion of the citations. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation in memoriam for Bob Urata.
Without objection, the citation on today's calendar has been approved. Is there unfinished business this morning? Are there announcements? Senator Josephson.
Madam President, at noon today in the Butchervich Room, the Children's Caucus will have its first meeting of 1988. We'll be hearing a presentation on health problems of infants and newborns from Representative Ellis, and we'll be receiving the report of the Governor's Interim Commission on Children and Youth, on which Senators Halford, Binkley, and I serve. It'll be an interesting meeting, and all senators are invited to attend.
Further announcements, Senator Coghill?
As the Resources Committee will meet in the Butchervich Room at 1:30, we have Senate Bill 304 before us. It's an act relating to the filing and recording of recordable documents, conveyances, plats, and platting authority. And on Friday, we will not have a meeting of the full committee, but the Special Committee on Fisheries will be meeting. Also want to inform or remind the body that tomorrow after session, we will have a majority open caucus with an invitation to the majority or the minority.
Further announcements? Senator Abood.
Madam President, today at 1:30, the State Affairs will be meeting to hear EO 70, transferring the Alaska State Archives from the Department of Administration to the Department of Education, and HB 32, establishing the Alaska Racing Commission and authoring paramutual wagering at sanctioned events. Oh, one more.
Senator Abood.
I forgot. Just a reminder to you that it's on your desk. Major General John Schaefer, Department of Military Affairs, the commanding officer, invites us all to a trade fair reception tomorrow evening at 7 to 9 at the something, but it doesn't say. I imagine it'll be down at the Eakin Center, I think, or perhaps at the National Guard Armory. I will get some information on that and get it to you.
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order, please. Senate will come back to order. We are at announcements. Senator Abood.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to give you the up-to-date location of that military affairs meeting Thursday night. It will be not in the Eagan Center. I misspoke. It's in the Centennial Hall. At the same time, in the Centennial Hall, I'd like to see people. people support them, if you would.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements this morning? Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. Finance Committee will meet Friday morning at 9 a.m. To consider HCR 31 and 32. That's the economic recovery legislation from the House. And we also intend to have a briefing by Commissioner Tony Smith on Department of Commerce and Economic Development's work with the banking community.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we move back on the calendar to unfinished business, please.
Without objection, Senator, we will revert to unfinished business. Senator Binkley.
Thank you. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent with the permission of the sponsor to be added as a co-sponsor to Senate Bill 348, an act relating to medical assistance for needy persons.
Without objection, Senator Binkley will be shown as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 348 relating to medical assistance of needy persons. The further unfinished business. We will return to announcements. Are there further announcements this morning? Senator Eliason.
Under announcements, there will be a Rules Committee meeting at 1 o'clock in the Belts Room. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 321, which is supplemental appropriation to the Organization Grant Fund for payment as an organizational grant to the Aleutian East Borough. Senate Bill 329, transfer of business license functions of the Department of Revenue to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. And SJR 47, expressing support for the happy face.
1 o'clock, Rules
1 o'clock.
Committee. Further announcements. Senator Fisher.
Madam President, can we move back to unfinished business, please?
If you ask for unanimous consent.
Yes, and ask for unanimous consent.
Hearing no objection, we will return to unfinished business. Senator Fisher.
Yes, I move and ask unanimous consent to Senate Bill number 330, an act making appropriations to the Department of Education for K-12 support and the school construction account and providing for an effective date be waived from HESS.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 330 dealing with school foundation formula and early payments will be waived from the HESS committee. Further announcements. Further unfinished business? Under announcements. Announcements. Special orders. Senator Coggett.
President. This morning, I introduced a resolution. It's resolution number 36 that went to Community and Regional Affairs, and I'd like to just give you a quick overview of it and appreciate the support for the resolution and a quick passage of it. It's a concurrent resolution, and the basic reason for it is because I have two communities in District J that are studying the concept of forming a borough, but the thing is that you go from an unorganized area and you get into the shock system of going right into a second-class borough, it's pretty tough. At the same time, there are other organized boroughs on the perimeters that are looking at the pipeline and looking at the tax base that these areas would have to use as their base for operation of local government. And so this resolution requests the Local Boundary Commission to postpone for a minimum of 18 months, any move to annex them into an existing borough or to require under the concept of House Bill 1 a mandatory system of borough government until these people have had a chance to complete their study. The Local Boundary Commission should not take away the community's tax base that they have right now, and that's what the purpose of this resolution is.
Thank you, sir. Further special orders, Senator Kelly. Senator Fisher.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I can say something about public confidence and positive attitude.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the floor.
It's no secret, Madam President, that today in Alaska there are foreclosures. There's people going under daily. The attitude of Alaska has to change. I went to a meeting last Saturday, the Support Alliance, which is about 350 people representing industry from throughout the state. And the theme that really came out of there was we have to get back to people have jobs. We have to get the economy moving. With a positive attitude, things will happen. Yesterday, we passed two bills over to the House. And basically what they did, they said your next dividend check will be $40. Additional money. This is money that you may recall last year through action on the House's side. It didn't happen. Well, you could say, what's $40? You know, big deal. But I'll tell you, it is a big deal. Because that $40 represents $21 million, which in turn, if you believe what our people tell us in the Division of Tourism and everywhere else, that any money invested in the state turns around 5-6 times, we're now talking about $100 million, just as a result of yesterday. Now, the key is to do it early. The governor has a bill called the Jobs Bill. And we're not talking June, May. We're talking now we need to do things for the people who don't have jobs. This bill that we passed yesterday, if it's an infusion mentally, where people say, my God, we're going to have all kinds of money coming down the road, at least to the tune of about $100 million, may be the thing that says to that businessman, hey, I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to close my door. Or the person who says, my God, I got to come up with some tax money or I got to come up with some payments on my home because I see things being turned around. Now, the key is early. And I'm hoping that the other body passes that bill as quickly as possible to restore the confidence in the state of Alaska. And with that, I think that we're going to see people with the passage of this, knowing that this money will be in the economy at the next dividend check, will, I think, in the long run, help us all to better represent our people back home.
Further special order, Senator Eliason.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor to say a few words about that particular issue.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor under special orders.
I'm certainly not in a confrontation mood with the House, but I would like to just sort of outline the ground rules that we're playing by, and these ground rules have not changed. There is competition between members of this body and other body to get bills through the process, and, you know, it's good competition. And, you know, at times we have the advantage because we have a quicker system on this side, and we probably act faster. But nevertheless, that if those bills from the House come over this body prior to our bills leaving this body, we will handle their bills. There's no question about that. It's been the policy for years, and I would hope that that House would continue to follow that policy. So if there is competition between bills and the House bill gets to this body first, that bill will be acted on, whether it's my bill or the President's bill or anyone else's bill. And that's the rules we're playing under. And I think this is a violation of those rules. I would hope that the House would reconsider.
Senator Halford.
Madam President, I request the privilege of the floor on the same topic.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor under the same topic.
I think it's important for us to recognize, particularly those of us that were on the Budget and Audit Committee, we were put in a difficult position this summer because most of us wanted to see this happen. The issue was brought before the Budget and Audit Committee with the support of the administration. But because the House had on the floor defeated this action last year, we on the Budget and Audit Committee didn't feel that we could override even the expressed will of one House of the legislature. Therefore, we waited until the session to do this. But I think it's important that it was stopped last year by House action.
Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Without objection, the Senate is adjourned until January 21 at 11 a.m.